I'd like to responsively read the Ten Commandments tonight. I'll read the light face. You read the bold, please. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Do you guys not have this? This little sheet? Okay, I'll tell you what. I'll just read it. I'll make that simple. Let's start over. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. It is very interesting that this principal command to honor your father and your mother is given directly to children. That command in Exodus 20, verse 12. God speaks to children. God wants children to follow him and to obey him from their youth. In ancient Israel, parents were commanded to teach their children. Deuteronomy 6:6 says, and these are the words which I command you. This is given right after the law. These are the words I command you today. They shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them. So you're speaking of them. You're not passively just living before them. You are actually training them. You're talking of them when you sit in your house. When you walk by the way, you're talking. When you lie down, you're talking. And when you rise up. Proverbs is directly speaking to children. You have that, my son, continually. It's all about instructing children. Ecclesiastes, God calls upon the young to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Chapter 12, verse 1. Jesus draws the children to himself and teaches the children. And you have a very interesting account in Matthew 21:15. It says that when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that Jesus did and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, the Pharisees, it says, were indignant. And in Matthew 21:16, Jesus answered them, do you hear what these are saying, these children? And Jesus said to them, the Pharisee said, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? Quoting the Old Testament. God has called children to praise him. Very interesting. Samuel was called from his youth. Obadiah says, I have feared the Lord from my youth, in 1 Kings 18:12. David too says that. Psalm 71:5, O Lord God, you are my trust from my youth. In verse 6, he says, "By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb." And in Psalm 71:17, he says, "O God, you have taught me from my youth." God wants children in their youth. Children, he wants you now in your youth. 2 Timothy 3:15, about that great protege of Paul, says, "From childhood." By the way, that's the word brephos. And brephos referred to a baby in the womb or just out of it. This is a baby. He says, "From childhood, from infancy, really, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." And you know that he trained on his mother's and grandmother's lap as a babe. God calls children in their youth. Children are specifically addressed in Ephesians 6:1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother." Colossians 3:20. "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." God seeks children from the youth and he commands them directly. And here in Exodus 20:12, you have this principal command. "Children, children, it is directed to you. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you." And so this is a direct command, and we looked at it last time. We looked at four aspects of honoring your father and your mother: respect, learn, obey, and support. It means all those things. Let's briefly review that, and then we'll look at some incentives to honoring your father and your mother. Remember, honor literally meant heavy. And God has attached a certain weightiness to your parents, a certain worth. They are given authority. They're given an authority over you by God. And they're to be honored, therefore, because God said so. And they hold this place of honor because they are His representatives. And you, then, children, are to be careful, very careful, to honor your father and your mother. This word means to respect. It means to give reverence to. It means to have a fearful sense of awe toward your parents as those who are the representatives of God. And we called it a loving respect. That loving fear. This isn't that terrifying fear of judgment or that they will destroy you. This is the same word for fearing God. This is a loving fear, a loving respect as a parent, a child. And that was, we first said, respect of an inward disposition. It needs to be a respect of an inward disposition, an attitude. A feeling of love, we could say. A desire to obey from the heart, you see. An inward motive to please. Because without the inward motive, that outward respect is really superficial, and it's not what God intends here. He wants the heart. But also, of course, He wants the outward expressions. And this is very relevant to children and youth. Children, you're to show signs of respect. You're to show loving respect by your gestures and your demeanor toward your parents. The way you look at them. The way you talk with them. The way you address them. The way you speak to them and the way you speak about them to others. The way you act before them. The way you respond to their commands. And I asked you to examine yourself in that area. I hope you did. I hope you examined your anger, your tone of speech, your sarcasm, your slowness or quickness, hopefully, to hear and obey. You'll need to continue to do that for the rest of your life, to watch how you speak to your parents, even in their old age. God hates every expression of disrespect. So respect your parents in your heart and show respect by your actions. And secondly, we said learn. This means to learn from them. A parent's principal role is to teach their children. To teach them, of course, the way of the Lord. Parents train the child to know the Lord. And so children, you are to learn. You are to listen and learn from them. Third was obedience. This means obedience. Immediate. Cheerful. Obedience. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And Paul then quotes from the law as his authority. Honor your father and your mother. So it includes obedience. Of course, that relationship changes a little bit when you have your own children and when you are married and you come out from under your parents' immediate rule. Fourth was financial support. And this is when your parents are older and when they're needy. Honor is used of respect and includes financial care. In rebuking the Pharisees who wouldn't financially help their needy parents, Jesus quotes Exodus 20:12. It was their obligation. Matthew 15:4, he says, God commanded you, saying, honor your father and your mother. And honor often includes, at times, financial aspect. 1 Timothy 5:17, let elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. And that, in the context, is clearly financial reimbursement. You give them the honor of respect, and you give them honor of financial reimbursement. 1 Timothy 5:3 and 4, Paul says that widows that have no relatives and are financially destitute, they may be honored by the church. That is, they may be financially supported. They may be put on that list of those who are widows indeed. Those who are worthy of being on a list to be supported. If they have relatives, they should be supported by their relatives. 1 Timothy 5:4, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them, that is, let the child or the relative, first learn to show piety at home and repay, you see that, repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Children, your parents pour their lives and their money into you for a long time. And you need to give back when they're old. Children are to honor their parents by financially supporting them in their need in their old age. Well, we've all broken this law, haven't we? We've all broken this law to honor our father and mother. And it's grievous. It is very, very serious because it is a direct affront to God. It's His law, and He has attached a worth to these people who are representatives of Him. These parents that He's placed over you. And you need forgiveness. You need the forgiveness of Christ for breaking this law. And let that remind you. Let that remind you when you disobey your parents, which I am sure is a daily thing. Let that remind you how much you need the gospel. You need Jesus Christ, who perfectly honored His father and your mother. And God, if you believe in Jesus Christ, God will treat you as though you never broke that law. He will treat you as though you perfectly obeyed it. And let it also remind you that you need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to renew you so that you can start to obey these laws, so that you can live according to these laws from the heart, that you can honor your parents from the heart. You can respect them, obey them, listen, and support them. Now, our God is wonderful. He gives us incentives to obey. There are good reasons to honor your father and your mother. And I'm only listing a few of them. There are good reasons to obey His law. Let's look at these incentives to honor your father and your mother. First, God commands it. God commands it. That means it's right. Leviticus 19:3 says, "Every one of you shall revere or fear his mother and his father. I am the Lord your God." Have you ever questioned your father's command? Why should I obey this? And your father has said, "Because I said so. Because I'm your father." Has that ever happened? I've probably done that. I don't like to do that too much, but I've probably done that. And it's true. That is true. I'm your father. They have an obligation to obey me because God has placed me in authority over them. That's probably how you really should explain that when you're dealing with your kids. I always try to give my children an explanation. So don't go around and say that Steve said, just say, "Because I'm your father." Give your kids an explanation. One of those explanations is, God has placed me in an authority over you, and I am accountable to Him for how you are raised. I'm accountable. But it seems like God is almost saying that here, that I'm your father. Right? Every one of you shall fear his mother and father, and because I am the Lord your God. I am the one who created you. I'm your father. It may also refer to his redemption. I'm the Lord your God, the one who delivered you from Egypt. You have a lot of incentive to obey. You know, everything that God commands is right. It is right. Everything He commands is right. You are accountable to Him. You have an obligation to obey Him. I am the Lord your God. This is His command, and therefore it's right. Think about this. Who's the one who made you? God made you. Who knows you better than you know yourself? God does. Who knows your world perfectly? God does. He knows the good and the bad. He knows what is healthy and what is unhealthy. He knows how everything works. Why would you not obey Him? His commands are right. He knows what leads to your demise. And He knows what leads to your prosperity. God has commanded it. And He is therefore right. And this particular commandment, honor your father and your mother. He has designed the family. He has designed parents to be placed over you in that role. And if you trust Him, it'll all go right. Psalm 19:8 says, "The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." And I don't know about you, but as I grow older, more and more, I think of this psalm and this statement here, and when I obey the Lord and it turns out right, I say, you know what? Just like God said, if you obey Him, it is right. And it rejoices the heart. It does. And you could save yourself a lot of trouble. Don't be like so many when they're old and they have lived a difficult life, a rebellious life, and they come to their old age and they say, "Oh, how I have hated reproof. And I should have learned this in my youth." And they say, and I've talked to many people who have said this, they say basically what God's law says in some practical ways. And they wish they had obeyed it from their youth. They learned by hard, miserable experience. Don't learn it that way. God is right. God's way is always right. Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." What? "For this is right." This is right. Everything the Lord commands is right. And I know what happens, because I've done it in my own mind. I don't know if I can obey you here, Lord. I don't know. This doesn't seem right. What? What are we doing when we say that? Do we have more knowledge than God does? No. We need to trust the Lord. What He commands is right. Proverbs 4:11 says, I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right paths. God's not tricking us. It's the Satan's lie. It's Satan's lie that tells us he's tricking us. His way is the best way. That's just what he did with Eve, isn't it, in the garden. Oh, this isn't the right way. This isn't the right way. That tree, you should be able to eat that. Has God really said? No. His ways are best. His way is right. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. It is attributed to Martin Luther, and I hesitate to say it. It's attributed to Martin Luther that he said, if God told me to go across the street and eat excrement, I would do it. And once more, I'd know it was good for me. And that was what he was saying there, if he actually did say that, was, it does sound like something Luther could say, by the way. What he was saying there is, I will obey God, though my senses may totally tell me different. Because whatever God commands is right. And it's good for me. God's way is right. Secondly, parents represent God. Parents represent God. Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. You're ultimately obeying the Lord when you obey your parents. If you can't obey your parents, you can't obey God. If you fail to obey your parents, guess what? You have failed to obey God. Obey your parents in the Lord. And that is a great incentive. That's a great incentive. I've told my children, especially when they were very young and were not able to on their own check everything that I had said. You know, they weren't able to go back to the Scripture and examine whether I was right or wrong. When they were very young, I made it very simple for them. I said, you obey me. And if you obey me, you're obeying God. You have it very simple. Especially you little ones, you have it very simple. God commands you to obey your parents. And if you do that, you're obeying the Lord. Now, as you grow older, you can check them. You can examine the Scripture. Parents represent God. You know, if you think about it, God chose only a few ways for Him to be addressed. How is that? Lord is one of them. And Father is another. And then Yahweh is His distinguishing name. But Lord and Father. And He chose those designations because those who are lords on the earth and fathers on the earth represent Him. As you obey an earthly Lord, you are obeying God Almighty, ultimately. As you obey your father and mother, you're obeying God. And to be sure, they will give an account. And parents will give an account, and earthly lords will give an account for the way they have represented God or very likely misrepresented Him. But that indicates to us that we had better treat our parents with the highest honor because they represent God to us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. I often remind my children that the ultimate seriousness of their disobedience and dishonor to me is not that they disobeyed me, it's that they have disobeyed and dishonored God. Romans 13:1, Paul says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. There's no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And Paul's living in an oppressive time. Okay? He's living under the Roman Empire, which is, matter of fact, You remember, Paul was the one who was in prison under Nero. I mean, this guy was not just oppressive, he was wicked. Whoever resists the authority, this authority that has been placed here by God, resists the ordinance of God, Paul says. You're resisting God. And when you don't honor the authority of your parents, you're resisting God. You don't want to do that. In a few verses down in Romans 13:7, Paul says, render therefore to all their due taxes, to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. This includes your parents. Honor your parents. They're God's representatives. You do it as unto the Lord. Now that'll help. That will help because that'll encourage you because often you think mom and dad are wrong. And that'll help you. You can pray and you can say to the Lord, I'm doing this for you, Lord. I'm going to obey them in the Lord. I'm going to obey my parents in the Lord. I don't think they're right, but I'm going to trust you. Now, if your parent is wrong, clearly wrong, and he's telling you to disobey a clear command, then you can, and you can show that. Now, that's where you don't follow your parents, right? You don't violate God's clear word. But you'd better be sure. You'd better be sure. And that doesn't mean, by the way, that you throw off all restraints of your parents or that you don't obey them in other areas because you found one area. Nor does it mean that when you disagree with them, that you disrespect them in your disagreement. You are to honor them, even when you disagree with them. You never disobey God's clear commands. And as your children get older and you're able to examine Scripture, that's when you'll be able to judge that. But even then, you need to respectfully approach your parents when you disagree with them. And that's why young men in the church are not to sharply rebuke their seniors, Paul says. But what? What are they to do? They're to appeal to them as fathers. Fathers are sometimes wrong. But as representatives of God, they deserve careful respect. Obey your parents in the Lord. Great incentive. In the Lord. 3. Parents deserve honor. Parents deserve honor. Most of the parents in here deserve honor. They deserve your loving respect. Most of the parents, they love the Lord. They're trying to train you up in the ways of the Lord. They're trying to live an exemplary life before you. They love you. They teach you. They do this for your benefit. They sacrifice so much for you. Sometimes we're unbalanced. Sometimes we're too strict. Sometimes we don't have all the information. Sometimes we fail. We are sinners. But our whole lives are consumed or should be consumed with loving and training you to serve and honor the Lord. No one loves you like your parents. So parents deserve your patience. They deserve your obedience. Bear with them. Cut them a little slack. Cut them a little slack. You know, until God brings that special spouse for you to marry, that rare man or woman, who's going to love you like your parents love you? Until that happens, and when that happens, you will leave your father and your mother. But until that happens, you'll have no one that loves you more. They deserve your honor. And you know, even when you do separate from your father and mother in marriage, you still are to love and respect them. You don't obey them the same way. You don't listen to mom and dad over your wife and husband. Don't do that when you're married. And mom and dad, don't presume too much with regard to the fifth commandment here and fear and divide that marriage. That is commonplace. Don't abuse your place. But children, you're to always honor your father and your mother, even after marriage, even when you're out of the home, you honor them. And I'll add, even when they are dead, you honor them by honoring their memory. Parents always deserve loving respect. Obedience will change. You know, that may be why it doesn't say obey your father and mother. Obedience will change. The honor will not change. The respect and that is required, they always deserve that. Okay, number four. It's in your own self-interest. It's in your own self-interest. Number one under this. Preservation for life. Exodus 20:12 says, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Paul quotes in Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, he quotes from both the law in Deuteronomy 5 and Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. And here's the incentive, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Now the command in Exodus 20:12 immediately applied to Israel entering the promised land. But Paul indicates to us that it had a much broader application. It referred to long life on the earth. You know, children, when you are very little, obedience is life-saving. And we trained our children from the very littlest, and you are able to do this. They can learn from the very littlest to obey. To obey basic commands. A parent tells Johnny to stop as he crawls or as a toddler runs into the road. If he has not been taught to stop, it is dangerous to his life, isn't it? Mommy says stop before little Susie puts her little finger in the outlet. The electric outlet. Obedience is life-saving. As children grow older and they're on their own in many cases, if they haven't listened to their parents, many have prematurely died due to wild living and unlawful living, rebellion against parents, drugs, violence, crime-related violence, disease related to their lifestyle, liver disease related to drinking, infectious disease related to sexual promiscuity. If those things don't kill you, they can make life very bitter, very miserable. And there are many more things that we could list with regard to that. And it's all because children did not honor their father and their mother. Now, I know that parents have a responsibility to train. We're assuming that at this point. But honoring your father and mother has prolonged many a life. We see this all through Proverbs. And boy, I wish I could. I just encourage you as parents to be reading through Proverbs and reading it out loud with your children over and over again. Proverbs 3:1, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands for length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Proverbs 4:3, when I was a father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Live. Then he goes on to say, they'll guard you, they'll watch over you. Proverbs 4:10, hear my son and receive my sayings and years of life. Your years of life will be many. Proverbs 4:20, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the spring the issues of life. Proverbs 9:11. For by me your days will be multiplied and years of life will be added to you, and many, many more, many, many more. Also, there's a promise of well-being in life. It's not just the length of life, it's the quality of life. Children, it is to your well-being to honor your father and your mother. You'll live long on the earth and you'll be well. Deuteronomy 5:16 says that. Ephesians 6:1 and 2, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you. Do you want it to be well with you? While you live, obey the Lord's command. Honor your father and your mother. Proverbs 1:32 is a place you could look there. Whoever listens to me will dwell safely, will be secure without fear of evil. Now, this just isn't just speaking of physical life and well-being in this life. I believe this is also speaking of eternal life. Your parents are leading you into the promised land. Not a mere plot of soil in Palestine, not that promised land, but the heavenly Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven. Listen to them. They do not only present to you the law, they present to you the lawgiver. They do not only present to you the law, they present to you the gospel. And that is the law of liberty and life when it is presented in Christ. Your parents preach the gospel to you. The gospel by which you are saved if you believe in Jesus Christ. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will have a very long life. Eternally so, right? The one who has perfectly obeyed all of God's law, perfectly honored his earthly father and mother, perfectly honored his heavenly father, is the only one that by his nature and by his obedience deserves long life. But he grants that to us, for those of us who believe him. We are treated as though we obeyed this command, and we are given that long life, that eternally long life. Listen, some saints die when they're young. Some saints do not have it well in this life. But the promise is still true. God has promised you a new heaven and a new earth. He has promised you eternal life, eternal well-being. Listen to your parents when they tell you about Jesus Christ and salvation in Him. That promise is ultimately fulfilled in Christ for all who believe. Don't reject the discipline of your parents. Don't despise the representatives of the Lord that He has placed over you, and so despise His command. Honor your father and your mother, and so honor God, and so by doing benefit from His good promises, ultimately, eternal life. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for your commandments which lead us in the right paths. Thank you for such wonderful incentives, the promise of long life here on earth, the promise of well-being. These things rejoice our heart. We know they're right. And ultimately, Lord, this promise of eternal life for those who will embrace the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, help these children by your Spirit to obey your command to honor their father and their mother. Oh, Father, help these parents to be worthy of that which you have attributed to them, that they may be worthy of that honor, that they may train their children to love and fear and honor you above all. And that parents may continually and daily preach the gospel to their children. And when they disobey these other commands, may we point it out to them and show them their sin. And then may we show them how much they need the Savior, Jesus Christ. And how He is such a gracious Savior that He promises such good to us, such incentives, eternal life above them all, and eternal life with Him. Thank you, Father. Thank you for Jesus Christ. In Him is all our hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.